Previously on the Two-Headed Serpent, Bart had finished ransacking the armory, but found that the base was beginning to tear itself around him, and he decided to make a quick exit, but not before trying to get into this mesh bodysuit that he found, which seemed to become fairly active in trying to get itself on him as well. Now, meanwhile, back in the conversion room, Jane goes to try to find Ethan, but finds that he has apparently drowned and partially cooked in this vat of viscera and blood. She drags him out and finds that he is still somehow alive and speaking in the language of the Vormi. And then, unfortunately, before she manages to really do much else, she becomes stressed again and is taken over once again by this other personality. Charles breaks into the mechanism and manages to save the man who's trapped in there, but not without scaring the hell out of him and cutting him up a little bit on the mechanism. As Bart flies into the room and calls upon everyone to get out of there quickly, Jane and Ethan don't seem very responsive to this for different reasons. Jane, in fact, becomes a bit hostile and uses a bit of dark magic, blowing both Bart and his flying hemisphere back out of the room again, almost knocking him out in the process. But fortunately, before she manages to do too much more damage, she snaps out of it. So Bart desperately tries to get everyone out, but as the countdown to the self-destruct mechanism is going down fast, the party make their way through to the landing room at the base of the volcano, at the base of the chimney that they'd found earlier for the hemispheres, and decide to try to get back out. But at this stage, there's a slight problem in that the man that Charles has managed to rescue and Greg are not getting on very well together, and this leads to absolute chaos at the worst possible moment. Fortunately, everyone else manages to get into their hemispheres, well, now spheres, fills them up with liquid, and flies out as the room is tearing itself apart. Charles, however, in the process of trying to rescue the man and then capture Greg and generally get everyone else out, doesn't quite pull it off. And the last thing we saw in the episode was Jane with Ethan's body up in one sphere, Bart in another one, looking down and realizing there wasn't a third sphere with Charles coming out of the now exploding volcano. So, out of the heroes at the moment, we only really have Bart and Jane with us, at least mentally and physically. Obviously, you have Ethan's body with you. You're there in these fluid-filled hemispheres, shooting up above this exploding volcano on the peninsula. You can see that the peninsula is shaking wildly. In fact, it's not just shaking. I mean, the whole thing seems to be tearing itself apart. There are huge waves that are building up as they're going away from the bulk of Iceland itself. But there is no sign of Charles. What are you two doing?
To what extent can we actually speak and communicate in these liquid-filled
spheres? You can't at all. I mean, you might be able to gesticulate to each other. Even that's going to be a bit tricky because it does involve moving through viscous gloop.
Jane just slowly puts her hands up as if to shrug at Bart.
Bart uses hands to make the drink sign.
Jane nods appreciatively.
Actually, these spheres have got to be like Bart's worst nightmare, because how can you have a cocktail when you're floating in fluid?
Bart sort of as after the drink, he sort of pats in his pockets and realizes, oh shit. My hip flask is under the mesh, and I'm in water.
Yeah, I mean, the mesh is certainly even tighter at the station. It has cut through pretty much all of your clothing, and it's cutting into your flesh a little bit. It's not like it's tightening enough to cube you or dice you or anything like that, but it does seem to be fusing with your skin.
To what extent is this sort of distressing enough to, you know, bring this to the forefront of my concerns, or is the erupting volcano and the entire landmass shaking and juddering a slightly more pressing issue?
Wait, it depends. I mean, this is Bart we're talking about. On one hand, you've got down below you an exploding volcano, possible tsunamis being formed, and a humanitarian catastrophe the likes of which you have never witnessed firsthand. On the other hand, your suit's ruined.
The suit, it was coming to the end of the season. I don't think I'm too concerned about that.
I think Jane's going to look down at the body of Ethan and kind of check in and see how he's doing.
I mean, he is convulsing. You can't actually hear the strange sounds he's making because, well, fluid. But you can certainly see that he's fairly vigorously trying to communicate this. There is, however, something else that is attracting both of your attention, which is this earthquake down below, or the way that the ground is ripping itself apart. There's something that is poking out of the earth, and it takes a long time, well, a comparatively long time, to realize that it's not a geological formation, but fingers poking through the earth. Fingers, each of which are the size of small hills.
Bart's going to do like a full goggle-eyed, like, jutting his head forward, pressing his nose up against the glass, getting a good look at it. He's going to gesture to Jane, to pointing upwards to gain more altitude. How long has it been since we last saw Charles? Like his...
I mean, it's difficult to judge the pace of time at the moment, just because everything's so chaotic. I mean, this is probably less time than you think it is. It just feels like it's going on for longer. But it's probably only been a minute or two. But that is a minute or two in which a volcano is exploding and a peninsula is tearing itself apart and a massive monster is forcing itself out of the earth.
I think Jane's going to keep flying further up and is terrified.
Yeah, because I mean, you can see as the ground is splitting down below what may be a face being revealed slightly. Just, I mean, is it a face? I mean, the parts of it are just too big to really make sense of. But there in the midst of it all, calcified, struggling to open, but still almost recognizable, burning with hatred and fury, is what is undeniably an eye. Let's have a sand roll off each of you.
Is it 21 against 75 for me?
Okay, and how about Jane?
I got a 44 against 35.
Oh dear. This could be bad for Jane.
So,
Bart loses one point of sanity. Jane, on the other hand, loses... she only loses 8. It could have been a lot worse.
Oh, heck.
So, as you enter another bout of madness and your other personality takes over, where are they flying this sphere?
That's a real good question, Scott.
How about if we deal with that later, maybe? Then, yeah, I mean, as the two of you are looking down at this horror show playing out below you, at some point, Bart looks up again and realizes the sphere with Jane is nowhere to be seen.
Uh-oh.
Bart looks puzzled. somewhat annoyed, looks down at the volcano's mouth, doesn't see Charles, thinks to himself, now I wonder which way is England? The sun sets in the... and just keeps gaining altitude.
Yes. Well, we'll come back and I think ask for a navigate roll later just to see where Bart actually ends
up.
Oh,
good God.
So, speaking of dead, let's cut down and see what's happening with Charles. So, Charles had completely managed to fail to rescue Greg, to rescue this man that Greg was trying to eat. I mean, obviously, all the other people you were trying to rescue had died in the explosion as well. But Charles does have luck. Does he have more than 30 points of luck at this stage?
Charles has 68 luck.
Okay. Well, it is once again, I think, time to revisit that mechanic in Pulp Cthulhu, whereby you can spend all your luck, as long as you have 30 points, to survive certain death. As long as you can come up with a plausible reason how you did so. It's not just that the volcano is detonating, but this age-old mechanism to destroy the area is igniting in stages. It is both detonating the volcano itself, causing it to explode, but also sending shockwaves down further on, stirring up the very active volcanic geothermal base of the peninsula and basically using the geography as a bomb.
And is this the rune that has all this hemisphere?
Yes.
Could a Charles run to the computer console and start sending every hemisphere to protect him? So like as a rock comes, he sends it and it sort of gets over his head and smashes. Then another rock comes, hemisphere flies over. And he's literally just using the console to pull out all hemispheres, one by one, after another, to pile on top of him, around him, to create a shield. He's going to grab Greg and this guy, and rather than jumping out in two hemispheres, he's going to come out in a sphere made out of hundreds of them.
Okay. Yeah, I think that seems feasible then. So, as Bart can witness this. Actually, no, I think it's funnier if Bart's already fucked off at this stage. I'll rephrase that. So after his companions have abandoned him for death, there is Charles in this lumpy mass of spheres that would be too big to fit up the chimney otherwise, but luckily the volcano is collapsing all around him, so there is now a big enough hole to bring it out. The spheres are now, I think, at least partially fused together with a fast-cooling magma. And you have this sort of semi-stable structure that is forcing its way out of the rubble. And what this means is that you too do, as you rise above the collapsing form of the peninsula, see this creature down below glaring up at you from the abyss which is getting torn open. And you get to see it just for the moment before the next round of the self-destruct mechanism goes off, suddenly exploding vast geothermal reserves down below and filling up its prison with red-hot magma.
I get a 98... versus my sanity of 33.
Oh, God, so that's going to be maximum sand loss. Sorry, when you say sanity of 33, what you mean is sanity of 13, because you've just lost 20 points of sand.
Oh, my God. What's left of your mind has crumbled.
Okay, it totally could have been worse for me.
It could have been. So that's at least now two of you in bouts of madness, separated from the rest of the group in transport spheres or masses of transport spheres flying wildly away. Let's cut back then to Bart. So Bart was trying to fly, you said, towards England. Do you want to give me a navigate roll?
I rolled a 7. Against 10. Against the base of 10.
Okay, then somehow...
In London for tea time, it seems.
Then, yeah, somehow you do manage to luck into the right path, fly down for a few hours, passing over Ireland, and then actually make the English shore. You heading on to London from there?
Well, I do have, you know, various friends, and of course, the Black Rose has a London branch. But I am kind of wondering at this point, how does this thing open?
With any luck, the same way as it closed, but I guess you can find out.
So yeah, I guess I'll go to the Black Rose, try and sort of loiter until it's dark, and then.
Are you flying the transport sphere directly there and decanting yourself on the premises?
Yes, but very much under the cover of night. I'm what is it, 20? So there aren't a lot of planes around.
No.
I'm staying in cloud cover and everything. I don't want my beautiful machine to be taken away from me by scary secret government agents.
Okay, so then, yes, under the cover of darkness, you manage to swoop down and make your way into the courtyard in front of the Black Rose, where you can eventually, with a bit of trial and error, work out how to detach the two hemispheres, pouring this liquid out all over the ground. So there is this sopping wet Bart with these two hemispheres, a large cache of alien weapons, wearing a ruined suit and this alien meshwork.
Hello. Are there any vacancies? I'm afraid I've had to come to town at, sort of last minute decision, I'm afraid.
Yes, the concierge. He looks at you, and you can see that he's tried to restrain his curiosity. The club does have a reputation to uphold, after all. And he says, "I'll just check, sir." And checks the little booklet and says, "We do have a room available. I'm afraid it's not one of our best, but unfortunately, it is short notice. I hope that'll be acceptable."
Yes, it would. And if you could store
The items, your luggage.
The items, yes. Bit of long story, bit of cabaret.
Of course.
Burlesque done. I just had to have it.
Yes, and shall we have a bath drawn for you, sir?
How viscous is this stuff? Am I just kind of like just covered in birthing fluid?
Pretty much, yeah. Yeah. The only reason it doesn't look like you've just walked out of a bukkake party is because it's transparent.
Maybe that's the episode title. I don't
know. Definitely.
Not a bukkake party. How we roll, episode whatever. And if you could contact my usual tailor, I seem to be. I'll be needing some new clothes. I had to leave in a rush.
Ah, yes, of course. Yes, I'll make the arrangement, sir.
Oh, and brandy?
Of course.
Lots of brandy. And I'll head to the room.
Yeah, and they do draw a nice hot bath for you. And, yeah, this is the point at which you realise that this mesh suit, I mean, luckily you haven't put it on as far as your face, but the hood part of it is just sort of dangling loose. But the rest of it, it's not coming off.
As soon as I'm alone in the bath chamber, if I examine it quite closely, now that I no longer feel like I'm in immediate danger, there's no tabs or anything.
Well, I'll tell you what you could do if you want, now that you've got a proper chance to examine it, you could give me a Cthulhu Mythos roll just to see what you make of it.
Very little. I rolled an 88 against 12.
Okay, then no. You're fairly certain that this is of some kind of alien manufacture, but beyond that, you're not sure.
Having some past familiarity with you know, Nikal devices, I'm going to relax, center myself, and try and control it as I would the staff, or I did the spheres.
Yeah, that doesn't work.
Start looking around. Shit. I need a piss.
we'll leave the mechanics of that mercifully undescribed, I think, and change scenes.
And scene.
Hey, my toddler manages to wee outside the nappy while wearing a nappy, so I guess it's like that.
Yes. Well, let's then cut over to Jane. So, at some point, you're not certain how much time has passed, but Jane recovers her senses. You're somewhere that looks like, you're someone's bedroom. It looks a bit rustic, maybe.
Yeah, Jane looks around, is very nonplussed.
Yeah, you're there. You're still fully clothed. You're still sticky with all this fluid from the sphere. The sun is out outside. You're lying on this. Yeah, it looks like a fairly simple wooden bed with some coarse sheets, which are now largely ruined from the fluid. There's a little table with a wash bowl and jug. Just some simple wooden furniture in here.
Oh God, what a hangover. Ugh, what is this stuff? Ugh. I know, she starts sluicing away viscous liquid.
Yeah, I mean, there's a bit of water in the jug, so you can use that to get some of the worst of it off, but you're definitely going to need more water to get yourself properly cleaned. I mean, your hair is just matted with this stuff. And a change of clothes probably wouldn't be a bad idea either.
Is there a mirror?
There is, yeah. I mean, again, it's a fairly small glass one with a simple frame on it. And you look a bit tired, and even for however much sleep you've got, I mean, it's clear that the events of the last couple of days have taken a toll on you.
Yeah, I poke the bags under my eyes. And then I think that it's taken a minute, but she remembers everything that happened. Because at first she just assumes she's got a really bad hangover.
Mm.
And then she comes to and is like, oh. And sort of opens the door. But Charles? Ethan?
You hear a woman's voice from down below. It sounds very tremulous. It doesn't sound like a young woman's voice. And she says something in a language you don't understand. You could give me an education roll just to see whether you can pick up on what the language is.
Oof. Yeah, I rolled a 98 over 70, so I've got no idea.
Yeah, it's certainly not a language you know, and you can't, you certainly can't quite place it. But, yeah, I mean, the woman doesn't seem to be getting any closer.
Jane just says, hello? And starts walking down the stairs.
Okay. Yeah, you get downstairs and there's an older woman, maybe in her 50s or 60s, fairly graying hair, dressed in some fairly simple clothes. I mean, you reckon from some of the furniture and some of the items lying around, this may be a farmhouse. In fact, I mean, looking out through the window now that you're downstairs, you can see a farmyard outside. There's a man sitting down at the table. They're both looking at you with expressions of absolute terror.
Jane just tries to put her hands up in a placating way.
Oh, as soon as you move, I mean, they both flinch back, and the woman says something again that sounds quite urgent, but you can't make it out.
Jane kind of clasps her hands together and says, sorry, English? Espanol?
They just look at you incomprehendingly.
Jane looks around to see if there's any indicators of where she is.
Just a farmhouse somewhere.
Maybe I could just, yeah, have a little, like, dart around the room.
Yeah. I mean, there's a hearth, there's a wood-fired stove that's burning, there's, you know, there seems to be cooking something that smells like maybe vegetable stew of some kind. You can hear animals outside in the farmyard, and these two terrified people.
Jane sort of awkwardly says, thank you for having me. Where am I? And she sort of gesticulates around, like, and tries to put that she's confused about where she is.
So the more you move your hands and say stuff, the more frightened these two people seem to look.
Jane puts her hands down. She tries to make sphere motion with her hands.
Yeah, the man nods, obviously recognizing what you mean, and just points out towards the door.
Okay, and she puts her hands together and, like...
Okay. As you put your hands together and start saying something, the woman just starts crying.
Oh, no. Jane is gonna back out now.
Okay. And, yeah, as you get out into the farmyard, you can see that there is a half-demolished barn out there where there's, you know, bits of wood all over the place. There's... You know, your transport sphere is split in two. There is what looks like the burnt and partially exploded remnants of a lot of farmyard animals spread all over the place.
Oh my god! They housed me after all this! Jane feels awful. And she's also very concerned about Ethan as well.
You look around for Ethan, but there's no sign of him.
She goes back to the door of where the couple are. I'm really sorry. My friend does like a little like person height symbol next to her.
Let's see how good you are at communicating all this. Let's put this down to an intelligence roll.
Okay. How good is Jane at charades?
99.
Oh my god. Garbage rolls.
Yeah.
Ooh, I'm sharp witted. So oh, I get plus good, one yes. die to intelligence rolls.
89. So you got 99 or 89?
Right, my intelligence is 75, so I'm gonna spend the luck to make it a success.
It takes a few minutes, and it's a bit hampered by the fact that these two people are so frightened of you, but they do just point out into the countryside, and you can just about make out some footprints heading out away from the farm.
Oh, shit. I think Jane's going to pat at her pockets to see what's in there and like what she has with her.
You've got a gun and a flame pistol, and I mean, you've mainly got implements of death on you.
Yeah, I think Jane will just put all the money she has on like a side table, hoping that she's still in Iceland, just if this makes any sense.
You're dumping it all. I mean, it's all kind of half stuck together with a gloop anyway, and you place it down on the table. And the man and the woman are looking at it. I mean, it's all notes, and the man and the woman are looking at it pretty well uncomprehendingly. These gloopy soaked banknotes.
Seems like we're not in Iceland yeah, anymore,
the,
Toto.
The language they were speaking didn't sound like Icelandic.
Oh, God. Jane just kind of thinks, oh, well, it's better than nothing. And just kind of says, sorry, again, and makes her way out. She's going to have a look at the hemisphere first and see what kind of state that's in.
Okay. Yeah, I mean, you've got two hemispheres out there because it's been detached. And while it does look like it made a bit of a rough landing they're not broken.
So they're in half, so the liquid's all out now. Okay. So I can kind of ascertain from that that I won't be able to do any high-speed travel anytime soon.
Yeah. Not safely.
Yeah. Okay. I think once she's kind of put that together, and she'll make it so that maybe one of the hemispheres is ready to use if she needs it.
Sure.
Actually, maybe I'll get into the hemisphere and then have a little flyby and look for Ethan.
Okay.
See if I can find him.
Yeah, give me a spot hidden roll as you swoop over the countryside. I mean, you can see...
Sweet!
That, yeah, you are out in farmlands. I mean, the temperature's fairly cool considering how late in summer this is. It is quite bright and, yeah, you're definitely flying over a lot of farmland.
Okay. And I rolled a 63 out of 80.
Okay.
For my spot hidden.
Then it takes you a little while, but eventually you do find in a field that looked like it was full of sheep. I mean, the sheep have largely scattered, but there is the half-dressed form of Ethan there, still looking mangled and badly burnt skin. They're eating the carcass of what looks like a freshly killed sheep, just ripping its guts out and chewing on them.
Jane kind of calls over, Ethan? You know I try not to judge, but really? Jane thinks back to what she's experienced since she found charred Ethan and the fact that he was speaking a complete different language and is now eating a sheep carcass, and just thinks, I don't think this is even Ethan anymore.
So are you leaving Ethan here to become the scourge of the countryside, or are you going to try to take him away with you when you try to make your way back to Caduceus?
I am going to try and take him with me.
Okay. He does try to put up a bit of resistance, but yeah, he's not very good at it. Between the injuries and the fact that he seems to have lost a lot of his physical coordination, the fight that he puts up is pretty incompetent.
Plus, Jane has her flame pistol at the ready as well.
So you're...
just in case there's any shenanigans.
So you're ready to barbecue him if necessary.
Even more.
Yes. So, yeah, you do eventually get him into the hemisphere. And what's your plan from there? To try to find civilization or a city or something?
Yeah, I think basically Jane is hankering for a phone. So I think she'll be wanting... I mean, I guess she just needs to figure out where she is first. Yeah. So any sort of sign of information or anywhere where she can find a phone...
Sure.
...and figure out what the hell to do. Jane says, oh, for goodness sake, Ethan, and takes the bit of flesh out of your mouth and just, like, chucks it out of the hemisphere.
So to cut a long story short, you do eventually find somewhere a bit more built up and find a phone, and you work out that you're on somewhere in rural Sweden at the moment. Once you get access to a telephone and so on, what are your plans? Are you trying to make contact with Caduceus, make contact with someone else? Where are you headed?
With Caduceus.
Okay, so, yeah, you can eventually get through to Dr. Gonsalves. And, I mean, obviously, after he asks you what the hell happened in Iceland, because, obviously, there has been a massive volcanic eruption, some major geological events, that there have been massive tsunamis that have hit the coasts of Northern Europe and the eastern seaboard of the United States. He's obviously keen on having a debrief from as many members of your party as have survived.
It's got into a bit of a sticky wicket. I'm in Sweden at the moment. Not exactly sure where, but I could do with some transport.
All right. We'll arrange for transport. You stay where you are, and we'll make the arrangements. We'll get you back in New York soon.
It's for myself and for Ethan, or what's left of him.
Huh. Oh, well, I'm sure we'll find out what's wrong with him soon.
Okay, thank you, Doctor.
All right. And, yeah, I mean, with that, I mean, you set the wheels in motion for you getting back to New York. Now, that just leaves Charles to worry about. Well, Charles and Greg and this man that you've got in there. I was going to ask you to make a luck roll, but you don't have any luck at this stage. So I think it's fair to say that wherever you end up, Greg has eaten the man.
All of that.
It's Grunhilda's brother. Is Greg's feast in the end?
Oh, well, he's with his sister now.
The one surviving member of that community, and Greg ate him. Charles has been flying around the skies in this ball of this conglomeration of spheres fused together with magma, containing now Charles, a hungry Greg, and the increasingly diminished amounts of this man's body. And Charles, I think at some point, comes around and realizes that you're not flying anymore, that this mass of spheres is there, it's bobbing on the water somewhere.
Does it still fly? Like, if I will it still rise?
You're trying, but it was obviously sheer panic and effort of will that managed to get you to get this many transport spheres working together en masse. That's pretty well. Now that you're not in a blind panic for your life anymore, it's a bit beyond you. Certainly you could pilot one of these things. You're not quite sure how you managed to pilot like 10 of them at once.
You're bloody lucky I'm taking you with me.
And I sort of grab Greg by the scruff of his neck, and then he's like huge though, isn't he? And then pull him into a single sphere.
He's almost as large as Charles is. I mean, he's size 80.
Yeah, I was so sad that I didn't know we could have been riding him.
Yeah, you grab him by the scruff of the neck, and he hisses at you angrily and takes a little bite towards you. But I mean, you're strong enough that you can just hold him in place for the moment. And he is finishing off the remains of this man's face anyway, so he's not that hungry.
So Charles would try and wheel one of these spheres, the one that he's standing in, to break three of the rest, and so he can see where he is.
Yeah. Wherever you are, it's getting dark now, at least it is dusk. And it's fairly cool. You seem to be on the open sea, and you can't see land anywhere around. So you've got to try to get into one of the spheres and will it to break free. I think that, considering the fact that these things are largely fused together now, this is going to require a pretty massive effort of will. So I'm going to ask for a hard power roll in order to get one of these to break free.
So 44 versus... I don't think I have 88 power. Can I push the roll?
Yeah, how would you push this roll?
So I imagine he starts concentrating and the sphere he's in does start moving, but it is fused to the spheres around it. So he sort of, while still concentrating, starts kicking at the fused glass and the magma that's solidified.
Yeah, well, I think if you fail here, that's going to panic Greg.
I fail here.
Okay. So, yeah, the good news is that the sphere breaks loose of the magma and takes off. It does jerk and graunch, and it still maintains its integrity as it does so. The bad news is that, yeah, in the process of kicking at it and so on, Greg has become quite agitated and is going into a frenzy inside this comparatively small sphere with you, snarling and slashing with his claws and teeth. And when he's not seriously trying to attack you, he's just freaking the fuck out.
I hope
out.
Not. I've only got 4 hit points. And
well, we'll see whether that's still the case.
Bad, Greg! Bad!
Because I think... I'm going to inflict a D6 points of damage here, so let's see what this means, that you lose enough hit points to lose consciousness.
Yeah, falling unconscious around Greg is really bad. Oh my god.
Yeah. You lost 3 hit points of damage as Greg's claws rake into
Can I, like, brawl him back? This cheeky fucker.
So you're going to try to subdue Greg for the rest of your journey to
subdue
wherever.
Subdue him? I'm throwing him out the fucking sphere. Yeah. Listen here, I'm the star of this show.
Oh, but now Ethan's dead. His plot Greg's plot immunity is gone.
I roll 69.
It's the perfect number, but was it a good roll?
No, I've only got 45 on brawl.
And I'm going to roll Greg's fighting brawl in return, and that was 0-5.
Oh no. So, crit.
So I think wherever it is that Charles and Greg are flying off to, you're doing it for the rest of the journey now with Greg just clamped to your right arm, his teeth just sunk into it, just holding on, for the rest of the journey.
Well, I mean, Charles on 1 hit point now, so that's probably a good place to end the episode.
I think so.
I'm going to beat him to death with the arm of this poor guy.
I see a bionic arm as well as in Charles' future.
That would be pretty cool.
So on that note, thank you so much for listening to the Iceland chapter of Two-Headed Serpent as Charles and Greg sail off into the sunset, never to be heard of from again. We will be back very, very soon with the next chapter, which I'm assuming is going to be New York, or I don't know, have we moved to London now? What, is that part of Scotland, Dave? I'm not sure.
Just for the benefit of the audience, I am now flipping Joe the bird.
So we'll do a quick sign off. If you want to get a hold of me, please do check me out on Twitter at Joe the GM or the podcast at HWR Podcast. Please do check out our Discord, which is the hub of our community. There's all sorts of cool stuff going on there. And please do check out our Patreon. Patreon is the absolute best way of supporting the show. If you like what we do and you want us to continue doing it, please do consider throwing us a few dollars over there, and you'll get some cool stuff, including early access to the show, at least a week early, and you'll also get some cool stuff which hasn't been released in Call of Cthulhu, including Call of Cthulhu scenarios and some really cool Cult Divinity Lost stuff, which includes Scott as a player, which is terrifying.
An experience. Yeah.
Curran, thank you so much.
I don't know what you
mean. No. Well, you'll have to check it out on Patreon. It's very entertaining. Curran, thank you so much for playing and providing that incredible foley. Your partner is very lucky.
Yeah, it's been a lot of fun. And if anyone wants to get in contact with me, they can find me on Twitter at Curran_J. That's Curan_J. Or you can find me on the How We Roll Discord or the Does It Roll Discord. Looking forward to, you know, maybe making a new character or something. We'll see what happens.
Yeah, I think we'll find out that being in the next character exactly what's happened to Ethan on Zero Sanity and exactly how Curran's going to continue on this campaign. Some very, very cool things happening very soon.
Yes, which I think we'll bring in fairly early next episode.
And Dave, again, thank you so much for joining us. Geography aside, where can people find more of you?
I am only to be found here or occasionally on our Discord. Yeah, no, you don't get any sass. I'm too insulted to be sassy.
I should probably clarify that if you want to know exactly what we're talking about here, you need to check out our Patreon, because there is some outtakes where Dave makes some interesting choices around the job.
Yeah. I was about to say, you're insulted. What about the 5 million people of Scotland, Dave? What about
that? 5 million people in Scotland?
And Bart is an Oxford-educated aristocrat. Of course he doesn't like the primitive Scots and their horrific drink.
Moving swiftly on.
I have, I think at the moment, 9 bottles of scotch in my house. I kind of like Scotland.
Or at least the bits of it you can drink.
That I can drink or listen to or visit.
Camille, thank you so much for joining us. Yeah, I'm just segueing quickly. Where can people find you?
Thank you, Joe, and no worries. Talking of Scotland, I actually saw an Iron Brew flavoured snack bar in the shop today. Oh, wow. I was intrigued.
Was it one of those chewy ones? Back to the 90s.
If anyone's tried one of those, let me know. Is it any good?
We need a PO box. Send us Iron Brew snack bar.
We do.
We promise we'll make YouTube videos.
I turned down more scotch. Eating it. Just because I have 9 bottles doesn't mean I don't need more.
Yeah, more scotch, and also fresh water from the Loch Ness for Dave to drink. So, yeah, fresh. If anyone wants to get in touch with me, I am on the Discord at Camille B. I'm on Twitter at Camille Brewage. And I've got various Instagram accounts as well where I do all my creative things.
Amazing. And Scott, last but by no means least, thank you so much for taking us through this chapter and for writing it. It's been an absolute blast. I think it might actually be my favourite chapter of the two we've done so far.
I think I'm just a little bit sad that I didn't get to do my mountain speak. I was going to be like, and the crusty eyes open up and then the mouth cracks open and you hear...
Oh, you should edit that back in. Yes, if people want to contact me, you can find me on the How We Roll Discord as well. I'm there as Murder Grandpa, because apparently that's what I am now.
Because cult, you know why, Scott.
You can also find me.
You know why.
Yeah, I know.
Do check out our Patreon and find that. Find out exactly why he's called Murder Grandpa.
Yes, alternatively, you can find me on Twitter at sdorwood. And if you want to hear some of the other stuff I do, then check out The Good Friends of Jackson Elias, the podcast I do with Paul Fricker and Matt Sanderson, where we talk about Call of Cthulhu, weird fiction, horror films, and other cool stuff. And there is even an episode all about how the three of us wrote The Two-Headed Serpent.
Spoilers.
One or two.
So we'll be back in 2 weeks with the next exciting episode and a brand new chapter.